This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه يا رب العالمين. وبعد، respected brothers and sisters, once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In this session, I want to talk about the importance of sunnah, this whole retreat or this whole event program for the past 2 days revolves around the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My topic, as you may have seen on the flyer, the importance of the outward and the inward sunnah. The importance of the external and the internal sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and Creator, has given us this beautiful religion, deen of Islam. And this deen, which should not really be translated as religion, it's not only a religion, it's a comprehensive way of life. And this is the reason why some of the scholars actually dislike to use the term religion. It's not a religion. It's a complete way of life. It has guidelines, it has injunctions, it has laws, it has rules. From the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep. From the time when we are mature all the way till we pass away. It's a comprehensive way of life. Islam is not restricted to certain forms or modes of worship. And one of the problems today we find in our society is that many of us, we have restricted the rules of Islam, we have restricted the understanding of Islam to particular forms of worship. For some people, Islam is just praying salah. For some people, Islam is just worshipping Allah. For some of us, Islam is only good character and good manners. Some say it's only about the heart. Some say it's only about the beard. Some say it's only about Hajj. Islam is not only about these things, it's a comprehensive way of life. It's a comprehensive way of life, Islam. It has rules connected to all different aspects of our life. Comprehensive way of life, teachings in all aspects. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. O you who believe, enter into Islam كَافَةً, fully, totally, wholeheartedly, completely. Submit yourself completely. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Allah says in another place, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in certain parts of the book and leave other parts of the book? Do you only take, pick and choose from the book of Allah the things that you like and that are easy for you to act upon, and you take out other books, other parts of the book of Allah? Islam is a comprehensive way of life. And we must ensure as Muslims that we don't pick and choose. We act upon Islam in its entirety. In its totality, comprehensively we act upon the laws of the Qur'an and Sunnah, the guidance given to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ulama of this ummah, after looking at the Qur'an and Sunnah, they've actually divided the laws of the Qur'an and Sunnah into different categories. We have the category of aqaid, that's the first branch, rules connected to our belief, what we must believe in. And then you have another category, ibadat, the laws and rules of worshipping Allah, all the rules of purification, of tahara, of wudu, of ghusl, of tayammum, of purification, of menstrual periods and the rules relating to that, of istinja, of going, relieving yourself and cleansing yourself, all those rules. And then all the rules of salah, whether it's obligatory prayers or nafil prayers, or whether it's voluntary prayers, ishraq or wabeen, or whatever prayer it may be, nafil, fard, wajib, witr, all the rules of prayer. And then everything to do with fasting, everything to do with zakat, all the rules of hajj and umrah, all the different wada'if and all the different rituals and worshipping of Allah we do, all those rules are included in this one category, one branch, which is called the branch of ibadah. That's the second branch after aqaid. Aqaid is to do with the belief, so let's leave out aqaid. In terms of the things we must do and we must not do, first branch, ibadah. And then you have other branches. Second branch of Islam, laws of mu'ashara. Mu'ashara, social laws, social etiquettes. Things we must do and not do in terms of our relationship with others. How we should have our relation, how should we act as husbands, how we should act as wives, how we should act as parents, how should we act as children, our relationship with fellow Muslims, with non-Muslims, with animals, with people around us. And then you have the third branch, which is mu'amalat, financial transactions, business transactions. And then you have the last category called akhlaq, the internal aspect, the ruh, the soul, having good praiseworthy character traits and removing all the blameworthy character traits from the heart. So these are the four branches. Now, if you imagine, if there's a human being, someone who restricts Islam to just worshipping Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, only restricts Islam to worshipping Allah. There is a person, let me picture a scenario in front of you. There is an individual who is absolutely punctual with his five-time prayers. He is in the masjid 15 minutes before Fajr Adhan. He probably, you know, he's there involved in the masjid. And he is extremely punctual with all his nafil prayer and voluntary prayer. And he's also punctual with his taraweeh and his sunan and his nawafil. And he worships Allah and sends blessings, salawat on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a lot of wadaif and this and that, tasbih and istighfar and everything. He dresses like a Muslim. He dresses like a Muslim externally. And he's punctual with Ramadan and fasting and all the rules of zakat. And he goes hajj maybe every 5 years, and every other year he's going to perform umrah. This person who I've just pictured in front of you, if he is neglectful in terms of the rules of Islam that relate to mu'ashara, he doesn't treat his wife properly, or if it's a female, she does not respect and obey and treat her husband properly. If it's a child, or if it's a son or a daughter, then they don't respect or give the rights of their parents. Neglectful in relationships, in mu'ashara, and neglectful in the way they do business, mu'amalat. They are involved in gambling, in interest, in gharar and darar, uncertainty, deception, there are fraud taking place in their business transactions. They don't deal in a way Islam tells them to deal in. And they are neglectful of the aspects of the heart. And that person who I just pictured in front of you, the one who comes 15 minutes before Fajr, he is only acting upon one quarter of Islam. Not from the four branches, only he is a quarter Muslim, not even a half-time Muslim. Not even a partial, you know, nisf Muslim. He is a quarter Muslim. Three quarters of the teachings of Islam this individual is neglecting. And Allah says to us, udkhulu fi silmi kafa, enter into Islam completely. When we look at the rules of Islam, you have the zahiri rules and the batin. You have the zahir and you have the batin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in the Quran, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Avoid, stay away from the external sins as well as the internal sins. There are two extremes, unfortunately, we find in this day and age, in this ummah, we find two extremes within the Muslims. For some people, Islam is nothing but external. For them, Islam only relates to the external, what you do as a Muslim, how you act, and maybe how you dress. For some people, Islam is just about beard, just about wearing a thawb, just about wearing an amama on the head, and that's it. When you describe a Muslim, very pious, practicing Muslim, mashallah, he's got a beard. That's the only thing that comes in some people's mind. When we describe someone, he's a good Muslim, mashallah, he's got a beard. So 101 things. You know, sometimes the person got a beard, but he does nothing all day long except backbiting. He's committing a major haram, which makes him a fasiq, a sinful person. Backbiting, Allah says clearly in the Quran, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. So for some of us, Islam is just external. You just dress like a Muslim, you wear a thawb, you wear a hat, you wear an amama, you've got a beard, and you just do a few things externally. And for some people, they go to the other extreme, which is also an extreme in our society. For some people, heart should be clean. You know, Islam is just about the heart. My heart is clean. As long as my heart is clean, it doesn't matter what I do externally. That is also another extreme. Islam is a comprehensive way of life. Do not go to the extreme to the right, do not go to the extreme to the left. Islam is about external laws as well as internal laws. Importance is laid on external laws as well as internal laws. You know, restricting Islam to one or the other is deviation, is balala, is fisk, is sinfulness. So we have to ensure that Islam, and that's why we see the Sahaba, the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they were extremely careful. They followed The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fully, totally, you know, they followed in its footsteps completely. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that position, that rank, that status in the world. They followed. They never, you know, they never cared about anyone mocking them. The sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, external or internal, they would not never care. They would not never fear people's mockery. They would not fear the taunting of people, or people ridiculing them. There was no fear, because they had this extreme deep love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many examples, these are external things. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, the third Khalifa of the Muslims on the day of Hudaybiyah, when he was sent as an envoy to the people of Mecca, the Mushrikun, and they started mocking him, and then his cousin brother, who was called Aban bin Sa'id ibn al-As, he gave him a haven, and then he asylum, and he took him. And then his cousin brother said to him, he said, مَا لِي أَرَاكَ مُتَخَشِّعًا, why are you acting so humble? And the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to wear his garment halfway between the knees and the ankles. I'm not going to the debate whether it's haram or not or whatever, but that the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to wear in between the knees and the ankles. So he said, why are you doing that? These are people, they make mockery out of you. Look at you, you know, wearing really high up trousers or whatever, or your garment. Ismail Izara, you know, lengthen your garment slightly. Because his garment was halfway between his knees and his ankles. So Uthman ibn Affan, the third Khalifa of Islam, of the Muslims, he looked at him and he said, هَكَذَا إِذَارَةُ صَاحِبِنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, I don't care about anyone. This was how the izar of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, and that's it. It's enough for me. These are the examples of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Juthama bin Mutahiq radiallahu anhu, another companion. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab sent him, radiallahu anhu, sent him to Hercules, one of the superpowers of the time. And he went to have a meeting with him. He said, I went there and I sat down. Jalastu faiza tahti kursiyun min dhahab. I sat down and then I realized that I'm sitting on a chair made out of gold. Now for a Muslim, it's not permissible, according to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to use utensils of gold or sit on cushions or whatever, you know, chairs made out of gold. So I quickly moved. So the Herakle looked at me and said, لِمَ نَزَلْتَ, why have you left that الَّذِي أَكْرَمْنَاكَ بِهِ, why have you left that which will, what we've honored you with? So he looked at him and he said, إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَنْهَى عَنْ مِذْلِ هَذَا, I heard my beloved Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم forbidding from something like this. That's it. It's enough for me. It doesn't matter. There are companions. There was one companion who was eating. Whilst eating, a morsel of food fell on the floor. He picked it up, according to the Messenger, the sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Another Sahabi or another person was there. He nudged him and said, they were in an auspicious gathering, you know, highly ranked people. Say, you don't think you're, are you poor or something? You take picking up from the floor, is there anything else to eat in the plate? He nudged him. He said, don't do that, it looks dirty. Did he tell him? He said, نَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ أَجْلِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقُمَقَاءِ, shall we leave the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of these foolish people? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they never worried about what people will say. We live in this time, what we do is we make divisions between distinctions in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We make ta'wilat, we interpret things. We say, oh, it's not appropriate for our time, oh, it wasn't that time, oh, it's just a sunnah. What do you mean just a sunnah? It's sunnah, it's something big, just a sunnah. You know, this is something normal, it's not sunnah. Meaning, okay, that's just his way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My way is probably better way. That's really what in reality the person is trying to say. So, you know, if we want that respect and we want that dignity and we want that maqam and that position and that rank and that status in the world, as the companions radiallahu anhum had, we must follow in the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam externally as well as internally. But I'm just talking about externally right now. We need the way we eat, the way we drink, the way we dress, the way we do things. Learn of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We try to follow him, even if it's not wajib. Some things are not necessary to do, without a doubt. Some things are not necessary to do. But a lover, who loves someone, he doesn't distinguish between what is necessary and what is not necessary. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَا يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. The one who loves another, he follows him, regardless whether it's an obligation or it's a necessity or not. You know, the Majnun and Layla, there were two, Ashiq and Ma'shuq, the Romeo and Juliet of the time, there were two people. Majnun was an Ashiq, that's why it was called Majnun, because it was crazy. And he used to love his beloved Layla. And then he's like, Imra al-Qais, his name is, he has lines of poetry in his book. So the lines of poetry, he used to go around the house of his Layla, his beloved, and he used to make tawaf. He used to go around and around. He used to kiss the, you know, the walls of the house and things like that. And he said, Amurru ala diyari diyari Layla, fa uqabbilu dhal jidari wa dhal jidar, wa ma hubbu diyari shagafna qalbi, walakin hubbu man sakana diyar. He used to go and kiss the stone at the house, and then he would say, Amurru ala diyar. I go around the houses of Layla, I kiss this wall and I kiss that wall. It's not that I have love for this wall, but the love is of the person dwelling or living inside of the house. So anything that is remotely attached or connected to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anything that is attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-muhibbu, the one who loves him, he doesn't distinguish. So externally, the way he would dress as well, we need to try to bring that sunnah in our lives. But then, that's not enough. As we said, Islam is about external laws as well as internal laws. That is not enough. Importance, it's very important that we give significance to the internal sunnah, the inward sunnah. And this is actually very important, because sometimes in our community, brothers, sometimes we really, I don't know here, but in England, a lot of times, significance is given sometimes just too much to the external sunnah, but internal sunnah many people forget. And it's very, very scary, because what happens, like some of the scholars said, that if someone is neglectful in the external sunnah, he realizes that he's doing something wrong. People don't consider him to be practicing as well, because he, you know, realizes that I'm neglectful and I'm not really following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its totality. So he feels, he doesn't feel, you know, like an absolutely pious person in the world. He feels, remorseful, slightly, somewhat. And there is a time when, inshallah, he may start practicing on the sunnah. But the one who externally dresses like a Muslim, practices the sunnah, everybody considers him to be a practicing Muslim. He's got a beard, everybody says he's haji sahab, this sahab, whatever sahab. And then you think to yourself, oh yeah, I am maybe something. And internally, the person is corrupt. He has all sorts of relationship problems. His backbiting, jealousy, hatred, cutting off ties, relationship problems, business problems, fraud, deception. Now everybody considers you to be a good practicing Muslim just because you look like a good Muslim. That's actually more worse and more scary than the one who is the opposite. Because here, you won't even consider yourself to be neglectful. You will think that I am good. If everybody is saying I'm good, then I must be good Muslim. You know, one of the sheikhs of the subcontinent, Sheikh Mawlana Hashemi Thani Rahimahullah, in his book, he mentions a story. He said there was an old man, a stingy man, who used to be very, very miserly and stingy. And he would keep all this, you know, money under his bed, never give anything to anyone. So you know the young people, kids in his village, they used to come and tease him. Give us some, you've got some sweets under your bed, you've got something, you know, come on, give us. So one day there's about 10 kids came to him. So he got tired, he made something up. He said, you know, in that street on the other side of the town, there's that uncle distributing halwa and sweets and this and that. Go. Kids said, oh, halwa, let's run. So everybody start running. So he looked at them running. He looked at them for a bit, and then he started running as well. But someone said to him, who was standing there, old man, what's happening? You just made this up and you're running as well. He said, if they were running, it might be true, you know. This is an example, he uses that as an example, that people sometimes know for a fact that you're not a good Muslim, but everybody tells you, yeah, maybe. We know the reality. I know my reality, how sinful I am. I know my heart. I know as in my private life what I do. But everybody around me thinks I'm a good Muslim. We forget that we are sinful. Because it's like that old man who actually knows for sure, for certainty, that he is a sinful individual. But he saw all these kids running, he thought it might be true. That's like me thinking, I might really be practicing, I might really be a good Muslim. So we have to be very careful. Internally, there are rules of Islam, mu'ashara. Mu'ashara is from the word ishara, which means to live with people. Like one of the speakers was saying yesterday, a human being is a social animal, we have to live. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, المسلم الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم خير من المسلم الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على أذاهم. a believer who mixes with people, and then he exercises sabr and patience on the harms, which means that as human beings, we live with the people, it's inevitable that our feelings will be hurt. That's part and parcel of being a human being. This is connected to what we talked about yesterday, because we're all different. Now, it's better that we live with people and make sabr than not living with people and not making sabr, just going somewhere in some kind of, you know, jungle. So, ishra, mu'ashara, is to live with people. There are rules about how to live with people, how we should give our rights to our parents, our children, husband, wife, and that's a topic on its own. The person can be externally acting upon sunnah with the greatest thawb of the time. But if he, as a man, husband, he is going home, he is not looking after his wife, he is not giving the rights of his wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat them well. Sometimes some Muslims, they think, you know, they're doing a lot of work outside, and they think they're doing a lot of khidmah of deen, and they're going everywhere in the world, but they can't treat basic women at home or children. They don't give the rights. There's no benefit in going all over the world and doing things if we cannot give rights to our own wives and children. This is part of Islam. Islam teaches about mu'ashara. It's part and parcel of the rules and the laws of Islam. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ اسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I advise you sincerely about women. Treat them well, treat them equally, treat them, you know, fairly, and treat them well. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضِلْعٍ. Because a woman is created from a rib. وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ مَا فِي الضِّلْعِ عَلَاهُ. And the most bent part of the rib is the crooked part. You know, this hadith, some people actually use this to condemn women. Look, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called you a crooked, bent rib. You know, they say, oh, crooked one, I'm going to straighten you. Some husbands do that. Actually, the beauty of a rib is in it being bent. The beauty of a woman, it means that she is, you know, from a man's perspective, it's like, I'm standing from here, this one, he looks, I'm not going to, someone looks bent here. Okay, because I'm looking at it from another angle. You, in other words, you're a man, you're not a woman, you can't understand her. She is different from you. This is the meaning of the hadith. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to say that a woman is more sensitive. She's more emotional. She's more fragile. Handled with care. You know, she's very sensitive. Don't treat her like a man. Some husbands, they want their wives to be husbands. You know, because that's, if you want your wife to be like you, then why do you marry a woman? I'm not saying marry a man, but you marry a woman. So you have to understand. They remember the hadith that al-mar'atu naqisatu aql. She is, you know, less in intellect. So you should have double the intellect. If she is less in intellect, half aql, then you should have double. You should have double sabr. You should have double patience. You should have double hilm and forbearance. So for a man, it's very important that these are the sunnah. Look at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا كَانَ يَصْنَعُ فِي بَيْتِهِ. What was his action at home? كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He was in the service of his family. كَانَ بَسَّامًا ضَحَّاكًا. He used to always smile at home, not come home and be reserved. Okay, do this. Where's the biryani? Too much salt, less salt. كَانَ بَسَّامًا ضَحَّاكًا. He would always smile. This smiling in itself is a sunnah. We have forgotten. Some of us, we actually think it's part of religion, being practicing Muslim, and part of piety is to be reserved. Actually, one brother told me this. He said, you know, I said to him, you seem very tense. At the moment, I'm trying to practice Islam. I said, what's that got to do with practicing Islam? Being reserved. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never reserved. Jalil ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiallahu anhu says, مَا حَجَبَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَمُنْهُ أَسْلَمْتُ وَلَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِي. Since I became a Muslim, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم never placed a barrier between myself and himself. And never did he see me except that he smiled in my face. Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Just like keeping a beard is a sunnah, smiling is also a sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Both are important. Both are important. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says to him that if you were harsh-hearted, if you were hard-hearted, people would have left you, deserted you. Sahaba were pulled to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because of his character. He was bassaman, bahakan, he was gentle. لَمْ يَكُنْ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِشًا. He was not foul-mouthed, he was not aggressive. وَلَا لَعَانًا. He would never curse. وَلَا سَخَّابًا فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He would never shout in the market. He was very soft, very gentle in his tone, in the way he conversed and had conversations with people. This is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read the seerah. That's something we fail to do sometimes. Read the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are rules of how a person should be at home. And likewise, you know, don't worry if women and sisters probably think I've forgotten them. No, there are rules about women as well. How you should treat your husbands. There are sunnah for the women as well. Look at Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhunna. Treat them with respect. Treat them with izzah, with karama, with dignity. Don't come, you know, when your husband comes home, and if you've been home all day, as soon as he comes inside the house, you know, what time did you come? What happened? You're late 20 minutes. Where did you go? You know, that this needs to be done. That needs to be done. Let him relax. He's just come back from home. You know, relax. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a good woman, the definition is, when the man looks at him, she smiles at him. Sarratu, makes him happy. In nazara ilayha sarratu. أعظم أفواها وأنتق أرحاما وأرضى باليسير. She is sweet mouth. She needs to respect her husband. She needs to obey her husband. The Messenger of Allah said, المرأة إذا صلت خمسها وصامت شهرها وأطاعت زوجها دخلت الجنة من أي أبواب شاءت. A woman, 5 times prayers, she observes them. She fasts in the month of Ramadan. And she obeys and respects her husband. She will enter paradise from whichever door she wants. It's so easy for sisters to enter paradise. Just treat your family well. Control the tongue, the mouth, which is the most important part for sisters to control. Even brothers, but especially sisters. It's very important. Don't say anything and everything. Think 10 times before the mouth is opened. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. This is something very dangerous. Sunan al-Tirmidhi, there's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهَلْ يَكُبَّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Nothing, you know, makes people fall deep into the fire of hell except the sins committed by their tongue. You know, sometimes women really need to control this, especially with their husband. They say everything and anything, then they say, I don't mean it, you know, it doesn't matter. You know. Come on, you know, the man is also has some feelings. He's not like just a robot. He has some feelings, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe about after a week, maybe 1 year, 2 years. Slowly, slowly, it's going to have an impact and effect on him. And he's going to be psychologically, he'll be disturbed slowly. This marriage might end up in divorce because of all that's been building up for the past 10 years. He's not saying anything right now that does not mean that you have a license to say anything and everything and curse. Some women do think like that. He can't curse me, but I can. I'm a woman. You know, that's a wrong understanding. And we need to treat these problems, these issues. Treat them. We need to tackle them. If there's a problem, look at the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Treat these issues, brothers. You know, it's not going to be solved by, you know, some wadifa or some ta'weed or some amulet or some water. You go to a sheikh and blows on you and it's done. Finished. It's not going to be treated. You know, so many people call me and others as well. Oh, we've got problems this marriage. Is there anything to read? I said, no, there's nothing to read. There's things to do. There's nothing to read. Things like this, you know. Okay, I'm not saying it's haram, but it's not going to solve problems in this world. These things, I mean, there's a fiqh behind you, whether it's allowed or not, and what kind of, etc. But these things, we are over-dependent upon these things. Now, we should make dua to Allah. The greatest thing is dua. Dua ummukhul ibad. Even if Allah doesn't accept that dua, you'll be rewarded. We don't need all these other things. Dua. And then, treat the problem. Deal with it. You know, there's one sheikh where this husband and wife, they used to have an issue and they came with a problem and we've got a marriage problem and this problem and this. So he found out all the details and then he realized the problem is that, you know what happens, the husband, whenever he comes home, he's very tired, he's very intense, he's had a hard day's work. As soon as he comes in the house, the wife starts, you know, shouting at him and saying things here and there, okay? And, you know, and he gets, because he's frustrated, he's just come in the house and he gives his back and that's it. It starts from there the whole night and everything and they've got major problems. He realized that's the bottom line, that's the main problem. They came to him, Shaykh, we want some water, do some dumb. You know, this dumb blowing. He said, read something, blow on the water, give it to us, we'll drink it. Problems will be sorted. He's trying to tell them that, look, go and see someone, go to a marriage counselor, go do this, go do that, you know, do something, sort out your problem. No, Shaykh, give us dumb, inshallah, we'll be all right. They won't take you, no one answered. The Shaykh thought about it. He said, okay, let me think of the story. Let me think of a way here. And you know what he did? He said, okay, I'll do some dumb for you, come tomorrow. He gave them some large big bottle of water. He said, I've read all sorts of Quranic surahs and this dua and that dua and this wazifa and this or whatever. Inshallah, now you have to drink this. Now I tell you how to drink this. This, you know, you have to put in two separate bottles, okay, this water. So husband has to keep one bottle and the wife has to keep one bottle. When the, and I told the husband, wife, so whenever the husband, as soon as he opens the keys of the house or the door, as soon as he comes inside the house, you have to take the bottle in your mouth, the water, and you have to keep it for 10 minutes. How long? 10 minutes. And the husband, as soon as she does that, then while she's going 10 minutes, you have to drink about half the bottle of the water, come and drink it. She, they started doing that. She, when he came in, water in the mouth, you know, she wants to say something. She can't talk. Problem solved. That was the problem, root of the problem. They thought the water cured it. Maybe they realized afterwards, Allahu A'lam, I don't know. But anyway, so we need to tackle these issues. Not just husband and wife, but relationships around us. You know, children, do we give enough love? You know, that's a topic. These are topics on its own. Just rights of the parents and rights of the children. You need a 2-hour talk just on rights of huquq of parents. I just gave a talk a few weeks ago in Detroit. Just on the rights of parents, about 1 hour and 45 minutes. It's a topic on its own. How do we treat our children? Do we give them that love? Do we give them that mercy? We complain that they've left the path of Islam, but do we actually do enough to keep them on the path of Islam? Do we show them that love? Do we give them their rights? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yazurul ansar. He would go and visit the children of Ansar, not his own children, other children. This is sunnah. وَيَمْسَحُ رُؤُوسَهُمْ وَيُصَلِّمُ سِبْيَانَهُمْ. He would say salam to the children. Not wait for the child, you do salam to me first. This is the Messenger of Allah, imagine. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is greeting the children first and placing his hands on the heads of the children, showing rahmah and shafaqah and this mercy towards children. With all the children, this is sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They come in the masjid, don't start slapping them around and telling them off. You know, these are children, these are people whom the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. He would show extreme, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. He would kiss children. Once he was kissing his grandson, Aqra bin Habis, who was sitting next to him, he said, I have 10 of these, ma qabbaltu minhum ahadan, I've not kissed not even one. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, awa amlik an naza'a Allahu rahmata min qalbik. What can I do if Allah has taken out mercy from your heart? Awa amlik an naza'a Allahu rahmata min qalbik. So this is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu, the way he would treat them. And mu'ashara, you know, not just children, our extended family, siblings. Sometimes we think we are practicing sunnah. We are doing mosque work and this work and that work. We don't even talk to our blood brother and blood sister. Because of what? Because of $100. Monetary problems. You know, these are issues within the Muslim ummah. Mu'amala, that's money. But this mu'asha, you know, with our relatives, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم لا يهجر أحدكم أخاه فوق ثلاث فمن هجر أخاه فوق ثلاث فما تدخل النار. Do not desert your fellow Muslim brother or sister for more than 3 days and 3 nights. If someone does and he dies in that state, فما تدخل النار, he shall enter the fire of hell. لا يدخل الجنة قاطع الرحم. The one who breaks ties, he shall not enter Jannah. قطيعة الرحم, breaking of ties is probably one of the greatest of sins a person can ever commit. And remember, the problem is that, you know, this is actually an issue, we give ties back, we maintain ties to people who are good with us. That's not really maintaining ties. ليس الواصل بالمكافئ, that's just paying back. We expect things. When someone's good to us, we'll be good to them. And that's normal. If you don't do that, then that's being an animal, you know, if you want to do that. There's no big deal in being good with someone who's good with you. إِنَّمَا الْوَاصِلُ, the real maintainer of ties, الَّذِي إِذَا قُتِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَحَ. When people cut him off, he maintains the ties. Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the mu'asha, social rule, these are all the social sunnah, the inward sunnah. Read Surah Al-Hujarat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the prohibition of many sins. You know, in Surah Al-Hujarat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Oh, you who believe, when someone comes, a sinful person comes to you with some kind of news, فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَيْتَثَبَّتُوا. Verify the authenticity of that particular news. Verify. Don't do something. أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. You may regret Later, what you do without verification. Many of our problems in our communities are assumptions. When someone came and said something, he said this, she said this, she said that. You know, these are issues in the ummah, in the community. And then Allah goes on after that. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِ. Avoid سُوءَ الظَّنِ. This is haram, to have bad opinion about people. حُسْنُ الظَّنِ, we should be giving everyone the benefit of the doubt. اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِ. إِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِ إِثْمِ. It's sinful activity. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy on people. It's not my job, your job. We don't work for the FBI. So we go and spy. Who's doing what? Is he involved in some unlawful activity? Mind your own business. That's not our job. Clearly in the Quran Allah says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. وَلَا يَغْدَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Backbiting is one of the greatest of sins in Islam. Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, radiallahu anhu, one of the great imams. How did he become such a great imam? He says that since the time I knew that backbiting was haram, I've never backbited in my life. I've never backbited. It's a major sin. And this problem is sometimes with more the sisters than the brothers. You know, we have in England, we have a cell phone and we have all these minutes, free minutes, right? I could, you know, we have 100, 1,000 minutes, mobile minutes or cell minutes. They're free ghibah minutes. Or free backbiting or, you know, tailbearing minutes. Because people just pick up 2 hours doing what? Talking about the whole world except their own selves. So these are mu'ashara issues that we really need to deal with. You know, have good relationships with other people. The khulasa of this mu'ashara, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A complete believer is the one from whose words, from his actions and his words. Others are safe. Even animals are safe. Even non-Muslims are safe. You don't harm people. This is mu'ashara. And then we have mu'amalat, that's another category. I thought I was going to talk about a bit about that as well and a bit about akhlaq, but there's no time. But mu'amalat, just a couple of minutes on this. Mu'amalat is the way we do our business. Financial dealings, inward sunnah. It's not enough to dress and look like a Muslim, but when I'm buying and selling, then what am I doing? I'm doing fraud and I'm deceiving people. And I'm you know, Allah says, Surah al-Mutaffifin. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Destruction be to the people of Tatfif. Who are these people? Allah says to us straight away, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When it's their time to take things from people through measurement and weight, they take يَسْتَوْفُونَ, every grain. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when they give people, when they have to give people through measurement and through weight, يُخْسِرُونَ, they give a bit less. You know, the meter is slightly less. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Allah says, don't these people realize that they're resurrected? يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When the whole of humanity will be standing in front of رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Every penny you owe a person, one penny or one cent, you have to give it with your deeds on the Day of Judgment. No tawbah, no repentance will forgive payment of the rights of other human beings. حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ. It comes before the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Monetary matters. We have to be very careful the way we do our business. لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيب نفس من. No believer's wealth is halal except with the consent of his heart. So we need to be very careful, even in the family, even in the family between fathers and children. The principle of Islam is that make your transactions تعاشروا كالإخوان وتعاملوا كالأجانب. Live like brothers, but transact like strangers. You owe someone, write everything down, clear cut. Even with between the father, if you've got a business, father, children, what capacity are the children working? One son comes and carries on business, second, third, fourth, nobody's caring what. Is he a volunteer? Is he helping? Is he employed? Does he have a share in the business? How much percent? Nobody. We tell them, you need to do all this. This is a family. Okay, family. But when the father passes away, when it's inheritance time, massive argumentation. People don't talk for 10 years. They don't talk till they die. Because money makes money root of all, well, not money, love of money, root of all problems. So transact clearly. And then you have another branch of sunnah, of akhlaq, of avoiding, removing all the blameworthy character traits of jealousy, of hatred, of hubb al-dunya, of ostentation, riya, and all these things. Replacing them with praiseworthy character traits. Of sabr, of tawadu, of humbleness, of humility, of forbearance, of the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, etc. inshallah. So anyway, I end with this. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to act upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both externally, internally, inwardly, and outwardly as well, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد.